This week is a important parasha, Parashas Achrei Mos. We relive the experience of Yom Kippur in the spring. We live the experience of Yom Kippur in the spring. Chodesh Aviv. Normally, Yom Kippur is in the fall.
Make it a machine a little loud. Let's speak it.
Okay, this week is Parashas Achrei Mos. It's also Mochor Chodesh. We learn tomorrow a special Haftorah. Vayomi Yehoidason Mochor Chodesh. Parasha deals, most of the parasha, at least half of the parasha, deals with the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. In the first sugya in Masechta Yoma discusses the halacha called prisha, which means sequestering. There's a halacha that the Kohen Gadol does not come on the day of the Avodah into the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't just show up. He has to live in the Beis HaMikdash for at least 7 days. For 7 days prior to Yom HaKippurim, he lives in the Beis HaMikdash. He is sequestered. This is the Din D'Oraisa. And the Gemara, the first two, three daf in Masechta Yoma, has a very lengthy, intense discussion as to the source of the requirement that a Kohen Gadol has to live in the Beis HaMikdash 7 days prior to the Yom Kippur. And there the Gemara presents Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the two opinions, the question this to the source, and the two main sources are either from the Miluim, meaning the inauguration of the Mishkan, when Aaron HaKohen and his family were sequestered for 7 days. We know that the Milum took place on the Yom HaShmini. Vayhi b'Yom HaShmini was when the Mishkan was put up. What was taking place the first 7 days? The first 7 days they were practicing. You know, but Aaron was also there. They were practicing, they were preparing for the first 7 days. So we learn from the Milum that Aaron and his children were preparing for 7 days until the Yom HaShmini. And the other Makar comes from Moshe Rabbeinu when he prepared to receive the Torah. Moshe, the atop po amodi modi, that was really after, but there's another few psukim that tells the Moshe Rabbeinu prepared for 7 days in advance of receiving the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that the Torah was given on Vav Sivan. According to one opinion, Moshe was Moshe Yenech Midaitoi. Moshe ate 1 day, so the Torah was really given on day 7. Moshe prepared 7 days in preparation for the Torah. Now, if we take these two ideas together, Elu the Elu Divri Elokim Chaim, the result is that when the Kohen Gadol prepared himself every single year for Yom HaKippurim, they prepared, their preparation was a 7 day preparation. This preparation was derived from two of the greatest people in Klal Yisrael, Moshe the Aaron. I know there are chazanim today, they start preparing after Tisha B'Av. There are some chazanim that start preparing for the Yomim Noraim after Shavuos. Some prepare the entire year. But there is something very significant about some start preparing after Tu B'Av. I think that's the most popular. After Tu B'Av is when they start preparing. But there is something very significant about preparing for Yom Kippur. Aaron, according to Kohen Gadol, that goes with Naival of him, he has to prepare 7 days in advance. And the preparation is derived from two major figures. Moshe the Aaron. What is the Limud Musar? Moshe represents the Koyach of Torah. When Moshe prepared 7 days for Matan Torah, it was the preparation of Torah. Aaron represents the Amud, the pillar of Avoda. He's the one that serves in the base to bring the Karbanos, to bring Kapara. And the Musa Haskell is, the idea is, your learning is only as good as your davening, and your davening is only as good as your learning. If I'm not mistaken, there is no religion in the world. Can't say no religion because I don't know all the religions, but it seems there's no such thing in the Ummah Sa'olam where the study of the law of the religion is sacred. It's only by Klal Yisrael we have this concept, is that Talmud Torah is holy. When you learn a Daf Gemara, is it just an intellectual experience or is it a spiritual experience? It's clear from Chazal that the study of Torah, the learning of Torah, is sacred. The simplest proof is you're not allowed to learn until you make a bracha. you have to every single day make 2/3 brachas of La'asayt B'divrei Sayra, a bracha of Asher Bochar Banu. When you get an aliyah for the Torah, before you get the aliyah, you make a bracha. When you conclude, you get the bracha. By the Umos Ha'olam, if you have a country, you have a religion, you have a nation, they have a law, a series of laws. There's no such thing as sacredness, holiness in the study of the laws of the land. They are laws. They have a god. They worship a god. When they worship their god, they view it to be a holy experience. But the study of the religion is not considered to be sacred. It's only by Klal Yisrael where the study of Torah is sacred. You see that idea here very clearly in Nagar. You see that idea here in Yom HaKippurim. There is a person who goes lefnai velefnim to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael. This individual has to prepare. This the preparation that this person has to undergo to represent Klal Yisrael is derived from two people. It's derived mitzad echad from Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the Amud, the pillar of Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu prepared himself to be mekabel the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and mitzad sheni, the source of the preparation is derived from Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen represents the Amud, the pillar of Avoda. And the two are intertwined. It's not a coincidence that the preparation involves a dimension of Torah and a dimension of Avoda. Because your tzila, your koyach tzila, is only as good as your learning. The power of davening is derived from the intensity that you devote to the study of Torah. And your success in accomplishing, in learning Torah, is only as good as your koyach of tzila. The two are intertwined because learning is sacred. Learning is a holy expression. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a halacha that you're not mechuyev. A person who's tarasai unasai is not even mechuyev, doesn't have to even daven. Me'ikar hadin. Me'ikar hadin, if you are devoted to the study of Torah, you don't have to daven, period. No one today is on a madrega where you can say tarasai unasai. Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Lag BaOmer is coming around soon. So he was on that madriga where he sat in the cave, he did not daven.
Yeah,
Rabbi Yehuda just said, Pasuk Shema Yisrael. He said daven later on. Okay, but this is a very interesting idea, is that you don't, I actually saw this write-up, it was an article of a Satmar Chassid, who's a professor. He's a professor, I think he's a Baal Tshuva, and somehow he became a Satmar Chassid. And he's a professor in Notre Dame. Notre Dame? That's a Catholic. So he says that you have to be careful. He says where he works. Where is that? What state is this Notre Dame? Indiana. And he says you have to be careful when you tie your shoelaces. Where he works, wherever you tie your shoelaces, you're bowing down. Wherever you look, there's another tzel. So, you know, it's interesting, Balei Tshuva come to class with an entirely different perspective. And the major thing that which caught me in his, they interviewed him, he's a very, very, very interesting person, a person that, you know, Baal Tshuva, and to become a Satmar Chassid, and to be a PhD in a very prestigious Ivy League college, and to have mathematics, and he has chidushim, he has a following, he's a very interesting person. And from one of the things that he said, which is about someone that's coming from the outside, and his perspective is very unique. And the thing that he emphasized is that there's no such thing in any religion that he has experienced is where the study of the law is sacred. In Christianity, I don't know, I'm not familiar, in Islam, Christianity, in Buddhism, and all of it's sacred, the study? The study of the law, the intellectual, the havayas, the abaya v'rava. Okay, it's not the same though. It's not the same.
They come out with flatulence.
But when you learn a daf gemara, you go through a give and take. You go through, if you hold it sacred, maybe that's the bottom line. But when you learn a daf gemara, what are you doing? This is observation. When you learn a daf gemara, there is a dialogue, there is a discussion. Abaye says this, Rava says this. The discussion results in a conclusion. But does the discussion have significance? Is it kodesh to go and focus on the havamina, the entire dialogue? Is that sacred? Is that give and take dialogue sacred? Well, it is. By Klal Yisrael, it is. That is part of the idea. Oh, exactly. So that's maybe what he means. This is what he writes. There's no such thing in other religion where the process is sacred. The result may be sacred, but the process, the havayos, the abaye v'rova, this is sacred. This is unique to Klal Yisrael. It is unique in the preparation of Yom Kippurim, the hafrosha, the preparation is derived from the two individuals, two very different roles, Torah and Tefillah, because Torah and Tefillah are truly two halves of one coin. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to go back to something that we discussed when we learned the Haggadah. When we learned the Haggadah, we focused on the Piyut of Dayenu. We mentioned that there are 15 expressions in the Piyut of Dayenu. Ilu hotzionim mitzrayim v'loy osavohem shefatim Dayenu. And then we go on v'chulu v'chulu. After we finish the 15 expressions, we review. There's a paragraph. The paragraph concludes, al achas kama v'chama toivu uchufulu mechufpele solenu. And then we review, she hotzionim mitzrayim v'yosavohem shefatim v'chulu. I don't remember the entire thing by heart. And we go through all of the 15 different expressions. But at the very end of the 15 expressions, we add one more expression. The 15th expression is Livnoit Space HaBechira. Hashem built the Beis HaMikdash. And then we add expression number 16, L'chaper Al Kol Avoinoi Seinu. So the question is, what in the world is that doing there? Why do we conclude with the expression L'chaper Al Kol Avoinoi Seinu? So first I'll tell you, I think, what is the simple pshat before we come to Drush. But I think the simple pshat is, we have to be aware that, we mentioned this when we learned Dayenu, we have a Rokeach, I believe, if not a Rokeach, maybe with someone else, that tells us that this piyut was originally composed for the mitzvah of Bikurim. When a member of Klal Yisrael would bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so there we recite Arami Oved Avi, we recall the history of Klal Yisrael, we recall all of the Nisim, so there was someone who composed this beautiful piyut of the history of Klal Yisrael, and that's what it was originally composed for. When you bring Bikurim, where do you deposit your Bikurim? Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. It's put right in front of the Mizbeach. The purpose of the Mizbeach is in order to bring L'chaper Al Kol Avoinoi Seinu. So it's simple that if this piyut was composed for Bikurim, and the Bikurim is being put in front of the Mizbeach, we should conclude at the very end with L'chaper Al Kol Avoinoi Seinu. However, I think there's something deeper, there's something more to it, and that is that we have to understand that the reason why we summarize, it was a general question, why do we have to summarize all of the different steps? Once we've gone through the 15 steps, why do we have to summarize? The answer is obviously, is that the sum is greater than the parts. You can go through each one of the 15 steps of the Dayenu, and you can. The whole is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. You go through all the various 15 steps. Each one is choshev, but when you put them all together, you add them all together, you come away with a new dimension. And the new dimension that is presented by the Baal Haggadah, by the Mechaber of the Piyut, is what is the whole? What's the added dimension? L'chaper Al Kol Avoinoi Seinu. Now, what is Kapar? It's very interesting that this year is really the ideal year. Every parasha that is very much in the parashos are in sync. It's an ibiyar. It's the full. The year is as full as it can possibly be, and every parasha that we lay is in sync with the events that are happening in the Moadim, in Pesach, and the last parasha of the season, this Shabbos, is Shabbos Erev, Erev Mocha Chodesh is the last Shabbos of Chodesh Nisan. It's the last day. It's not only the last day, but it's the Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, so it's 2 days Rosh Chodesh, but it's Kemat, the last day of the Chodesh. The end of the season, we walk away with the Parsha of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The whole Chodesh is a Chodesh of Geula. And it's a process. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we come to Shavuot Shechalboy, we have Shabbos HaGadol, and we have Erev Pesach, we have the Lel HaSeder, and then we lead up the 7 days to Kriyas Yamsuf. We go through an entire season of Geula. Every different step of the season of Geula is similar to Ilu Hotziyanu Mimitzrayim V'lo Yasavahem Shefatim Dayenu. If you only did this for us, Dayenu, only did this. There are many, many different steps. We're coming tomorrow to the last day of the month, the last Shabbos of the month, to the finale. The finale is the sum of all the parts. And we come away with a new dimension. And the new dimension is, according to the Dayenu, what do we take away from the entire season? Kapara. You can't say it's a coincidence that we happen to be learning the parasha which deals with the ultimate kapara for Klal Yisrael. The ultimate kapara is Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lifnim, and it's mechaper, and the Sar LaAzazel is mechaper for all the other averos that are for the two different seerim, the totality of kapara. And it's very interesting. Rashi here explains when it says multiple times in the beginning of the parasha the word kapara, and Rashi explains that kapara doesn't mean kapara. Kapara means vidui, confession. Let me turn to the page. Okay. Parsha begins. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Achrei Moiske. Vayivash Moshe Daber Aaron. Bezos Yovay Aaron El Hakodesh Befar Ben Bakar. Okay. Then he goes on to say, V'hikriv Aaron Espar Hachatos Asher Lo. Here's the first time we have the word kapara. V'chiper Bado. What?
Chapter by
Esav and Yaakov.
Esav
and Yaakov.
He sends the Rashi brings it down there with
the Torah. Okay, let's see. V'chiper ba'ado v'ad Rashi pasuk vav. What does it mean? V'chiper ba'ado v'ad deso. You will achieve kapara. Mis vado olav avoynosav va'avoynas deso. Kapara here means confession. To confess to be misvade. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, it's the very first Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam emphasizes this, you can look it up, is that the Iker Kapara comes through Vidui. The most important ingredient of doing Tshuva and achieving atonement is confession. And it's very interesting that the Rambam uses the same expression by Vidui as it's used by the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we say, Kol Hamarbe L'Saber B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Hareze Meshubach. The Rambam in the first Halacha in Hilchos Tshuva says the Iker Kapara is to Vidui, confession, acknowledge what you've done wrong. The Kol Hamarbe L'Hisvadois, the more you are Mitzvadois, Hareze Meshubach. It's praiseworthy. The same expression that's used by Pesach is used by Vidui. What is Pesach? What does Pesach mean? Pesach, this is the Jewish, is Pesach. The mouth speaks. What is the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? We have many psukim, is that Paro Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem. The goal is to make it known. It should be known, it should be clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Ki ani Hashem. It's a yidia. Vidui is the Pesach. The mouth, the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim, after all the various steps, is L'chaper al kol avoynoy seinu. Now it's true, it's the reference to kapara, atonement for sin, but in order, the ingredient of atonement for sin is to speak and to acknowledge, The goal of Pesach is to come to a point where we have a koyach of expression, the ability to speak, to be aware that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And when we want to put in context of tshuva, of coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we add this inner dimension of lechaper al al avoyno esenu, to be misvade, to acknowledge our sins. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I saw it, and I, you know, that talks about the liberation of speech. Then paro is interpreted as
pera. Pera. Right, there's a lot of ideas that relate to this theme, is that the koyach of Mitzrayim, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, was in order to give Klal Yisrael expression, the ability to express themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically to acknowledge the existence, the awareness that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, what the Metzius is. In fact, I saw Rabbi Soloveitchik, he writes, he asked a simple question, how could the Pasuk over here say that Aaron should be misvada for the sins of his family and for the entire Klal Yisrael? Aaron has no way, it's not possible for him to know all of the sins of his family. Aaron may know about his own sins. How can Aaron possibly know about the sins of his family and about the sins of the entire Klal Yisrael? So Soloveitchik says, from this you see that vidu does not necessarily mean to confess sins. It means just to present, just to be aware, to acknowledge that
you are a sinner.
That we are a sinner. It's not. It's acknowledgement that we are a sinner, that the sins have been committed, and there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. There is an accounting. We are responsible, and we have a duty to do tshuva, to atone for our sins. It's an awareness. It really represents more than just saying words. It represents the expression. A person has to have the ability to express his awareness that there is a Creator, and we are accountable for our actions, and we acknowledge that we have fallen short of what has been demanded from us. So I just want to point out is that it is not a coincidence. We're coming to the end of the season. Smachar Chodesh. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that the parsha that we lay in is Parshas Achimos. It is, to the average person, a little bit bizarre. You come to Parshas Achimos, it really seems to be out of season. We're holding in the spring. It's the last thing we want to think about now, that in 6 months from now, we're going to be fasting, it's going to be Yom Kippur, and we're going to be looking towards the next year. It's not really in season. The answer is no, it is. It's perfectly in season, because this is what we say by the Haggadah. The Haggadah, after we take all the parts of Yitzias Mitzrayim and we combine them together, the Baal Haggadah says, what is the inner dimension? Lechaper al kol avoinoseinu. This is the finale. We've gone through all the steps. We're leaving Chodesh Nisan. And what are we coming? We're coming to the spitz of Lechaper al kol avoinoseinu, Parshas Achimos, when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefin for Kapara. Why is this necessary? It's because what is Kapara? Parashi here clearly says kapara is expression, vidui, to express yourself, to be aware of who you are, who is Hashem, where we stand on that relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Expression is a product of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The peh was in Golos. The peh was not developed. Peh soch. Paro is peh ra. It's the koyach hadibur. And that is what we accomplish here, and it is seen clearly from the Rambam. The Ikka Kapara is Vidui, the Chol Hamarbe Lehisvadois. The more you use the talent of Dibor to express yourself, Hare Ze Meshubach. Yes.
Rashi, as I said before, Rashi in Rashi Vayishlach has a little bit of a different definition of Kapara. He calls it Abate Roizer. He says that the Vata was a Kosh Baruch, and Rashi says, "Benirva ena shekal kapara sheitzol avon kapara is upon the kuvan ve'ol lashik nuach." Rather, the white is the same thing. Rashi mentioned about
the confession.
Rashi wiped the sea. One white slave from.
Where are you reading the Rashi? What parasha is that again?
Rashi by Yishlach. It's parable on the days.
And what's the pasuk in reference to what? What is it talking about? What's the topic? Okay. I hear. Okay, there he's dealing with Esav, Yaakov and Esav. Here,
this is good for Ibrahim. We have Akronos.
Right.
On a regular year. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
Regular year.
Shmini.
Okay, you have to twist it. But this year, we don't have any problem this year. This year is perfect. This year, we end off, the season ends off. Okay, let me tell you another idea. This is an observation. I don't have any deep machshava, I don't have any thought, but just I just want to make the following observation. The pasuk says that Aaron goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh lefnai v'lefnim. There's a gemara, there's a medrash. The medrash asks a question: how could the kohen go lefnai v'lefnim? The pasuk clearly says v'chol adam lo yiyeh ba'ol moed. When Aaron goes in the Kodesh HaKadosh, it says v'chol adam lo yiyeh ba'ol moed bivao lechaper ba'kodesh ad seiso. So the Gemara, I think it's a Gemara, or it's a Medrash, or it's a Tosfos, asked the question, I wrote down part of it, that isn't Aaron HaKohen, is he not a human being? Aharon HaKohen, or for that matter, every Kohen Gadol that will come in all later generations, they are human beings. They are in the category of an Adam. So how are they allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh? How is the Torah telling you to do the impossible? So the Medrash answers, Enochinami. The Kohen Gadol was transformed. This is obviously a Medrash, the Kasha, good Kasha, was transformed into a Medrash. That's what it said, into a Malach. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk is, so this is a Medrash of Ayikar Rabbah, Ki Sivsei Kohen Yishmeru Das, the Torah Yivakshu Mipiu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzivakos. Okay? So it's a pasuk that actually says, the pasuk that answers the question that the Kohen is a Malach Hashem Tzivakos. Okay, very good. So therefore there's no violation. When the pasuk says, V'chol Adam lo yiyeh b'oil moed, that does not include the Kohen Gadol. He was transformed into a spiritual being. Okay, let me quote you another Chazal. This is a Gemara, I think in Moed Katan. The Gemara says that the last 80 years, the years when Shimon HaTzadik served as the Kohen Gadol, so it says the 40 years that he served as Kohen Gadol, he said about himself that every single year, with the exception of the last year, a Zokain accompanied him into the Kodesh HaKodashim. When he went into the Kodesh HaKodashim, all of a sudden appeared the Zokain. And this Zokain went and took him in, and the Zokain was lavush levon and was wearing white. I think it says. The last year, the Zokain was wearing black. And that he knew was an indication that this would be his last year. So Tosfos there in Moed Katan asked the question, how could the Zokain go, same exact Kasha, V'chol Adam lo yiyeh b'oyel moed, what's the Zokain? So Tosfos there says something that is absolutely shocking, and it says that the Zokain was the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. How are you talking such a thing? That the Ribbono Shel Olam was mitzamsein his kedusha into the tzur. We obviously this is not going to be taken literally. What we don't have no clue what this means. But HaKadosh Baruch Kaviyachal Tosfos Moed Katan, he made himself into the tzur of a zaken, and it's not so. Not, we have this theme elsewhere by Kriyas Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael pointed ze keli v'andeu. Hashem appeared to them like a gibor. By Har Sinai, Hashem appeared to them as a zaken molirachamin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared as a zaken. So my observation is as follows. Again, I don't have an answer, I don't have anything to say other than an observation. Look what's happening here on Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol, a human being, is turning into a Malach, at the same time that the Ribbono Shel Olam is turning into an Adam, who is appearing, who is being mitzamsem in Adam. There's a role reversal here. We're the human beings that Hashem created over here to serve HaKadosh Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Malach, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom HaKippur Mitzmamasha V'Nehapechu. Part of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kapar is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he identifies with us as being a human being, and he puts up on a higher pedestal, and he makes us into a Malach. Haloi Davar. It's Mamish, like I was thinking, Ladrush. It's Kippurim. The theme of Purim is V'nahapechu. Here is the complete role reversal of us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the deeper meaning? I don't know.
It's meaning halfway.
It's more than halfway. They're stepping over the bounds.
Don't have to go that far. This is the point, the time and the space in which they meet,
interact. Where a human being rises above what is normal, and where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to be mitzamsem to a madrega, to something which we can relate to. This is the koyach of Yom HaKippurim. The koyach of Yom HaKippurim is where you overstep the bounds. Okay, let's go to what? This tesis is.
We are considered like malachim on Yom Kippur.
Everyone, okay, but specifically, specifically, maybe it's in. I told you, maybe it's in Menachos Daf Kuftes. Maybe. Is there no Kuftes? Is there a Kuftes in Menachos? Or Tez? Or Tez? Maybe it's the end of Menachos. Maybe. I have to go. I'm not sure I wrote down. I wrote a lot of things here. I'm not sure I know what I wrote down. Okay, I want to go to another short idea. Ketores. This week we learn about the ultimate Ketores, the Ketores that is offered Lefnai V'Lefnim. Now, in addition to the Ketores that's offered Lefnai V'Lefnim, there's a Ketores that's offered every single day. What is the common, what are the similarities between the two and what are the differences? Well, one similarity, important similarity, is both the Ketores that's offered every single day and the Ketores of Yom Kippur are associated with the Koyach of Torah. Why do I say that? In Parshas Tetzaveh, the end of Tetzaveh, we learn about the Ketores, it says, Uve ha'alois, aharoin es haneiros yaktirena, that when you I don't remember the pasuk Baal Peh, but basically is that when the Ketores is offered, it's always offered at the same time as the lighting of the Neros. The pasuk goes out of its way to make this point. Let me turn to the Tzavah. We say this in davening every day. Give me one moment. Parashas Truma, Parashas Tetzaveh. Okay, pasuk to Uve Ha'lois Aharon es Haneiros Mehitiro Lav Aharon Ketores Baboiker Behetivo es Haneiros Yaktirena. At the time when his native the Neros, whether you look like the Rambam and it means when he lights the Neros, or you look like all of the other Rishon that says this means that when he would clean the menorah, it is associated, the Ketores has to be done in sync with the preparation of the menorah. And when does he offer the Ketores in the afternoon? At the same time when he lights the menorah. What does the menorah represent? Everyone, Davar Pasha, the menorah represents the Koyach of Torah. The menorah is a symbol of the Or HaTorah. What does it say about the Ketores on Yom HaKippurim? Parashas Achrimos, the Lokach Moemachta Gachle Eish Mel Hamesbech Melufne Hashem Molech of Ketores and Mdako, the Vimi Beis Laparochis, the Nosane Sakatoris Alho Eish, Lufne Hashem, the Chison Akatoris Sakaparis, Asher Alho Eidus Velo Yomus. The Pasuk over here says that it should be presented by the Kapoires Asher Alho Eidus. What is this? The Oron. The Torah emphasizes is that the Ketores on Yom HaKippurim is offered in the presence in front of the Aron HaKodesh. What's in the Aron HaKodesh? The Torah. So we see here clearly that both the Ketores of Yom HaKippurim and the Ketores of the whole year is associated with the Torah. Now it's not so far from, now let's also go off on a tangent for a moment. We know that we have a tradition that if a person says the Ketores or offers the Ketores, it's a school for Ashirus. And we know that Sandukois, serving as a Sandik by a Bris, also a school for Ashirus. And we know the famous story with the Stipler going. The Stipler was asked that if you are a, you receive Sandukois every single day, he was on with Sandukois. And yet we do not find that his stocks went up. We do not find that the stipend was a multimillionaire. So how do we understand Chazal? Chazal tells us, school of Ashiris. So he says, who says Ashiris means money? Ein oni ela bidas. Ashiris and Anius is all in the koyach of the study of Torah. And the stipend says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the richest man in the world. My Svarim, the Kehilas Yaakov, he was able to write very popular, creative Svarim, and they were well accepted in Klal Yisrael. This is the greatest ashiras possible. So you see that the Ketores represents a nachas ruach. And the nachas ruach is associated with the koyach of the study of Torah, the association with Torah. Okay, now that's the similarity. What's the difference? Difference is, on Yom HaKippurim, the amount of Ketores that was offered was a variable. It all depended on the size of the hands of the Kohen Gadol. Miloy Chofnov. If a Kohen Gadol was a giant, was Oig Melech HaBashan, then there was a lot of Ketores. If the Kohen Gadol was a small person, so there was not that much Ketores to be offered. They prepared the max. The maximum was three measures. Normally one measure was enough for one day. But for Yom HaKippurim, they had to be Meloi Chofnov. One Chofnov was three measures, just in case the Kohen Gadol had very large hands. But during the year, it's a fixed amount. The amount of Ketores that was offered in the Mizbech was an exact, precise amount. There was no fluctuation. There was no change in size. Okay, that's one difference. Another difference is that the Ketores of Yom HaKippurim was dak min hadak. It says in the pasuk that he shall take a meloi chofnov Ketores sanim dakko. And Rashi says, why does it say dakko? U'machazirun l'machteshes v'erev Yom HaKippurim v'shechakon yofa k'dei shetehei dakko min hadakko. The whole year round it was not as fine, but Yom HaKippurim was dakko min hadakko. So the question is there possibly some type of relationship, difference, some type of connection between these two? So I want to suggest the following. The difference between the Aron and the Menorah is, the Aron represents Torah Shebichsaf. The Menorah represents Torah Shel Baal Peh. When a Kohen Gadol brings Ketores, and the amount of Ketores depends upon the sizes of his hand, that represents a unique, individual, custom-made approach to Ketores. When the average Kohen brought Ketores every single day, twice a day, and they brought a set amount, it was a cookie cutter. It's a standard. No one has the right to deviate, to change, to be Mishana, even the smallest mashu. So maybe we can suggest is that when we're dealing with the Torah Shebaal Peh, there's no room for individuality. Now, it doesn't, of course, everyone has his own chidushim. The purpose of Torah Shebaal Peh is to be mechadesh chidushim, your own chidushim. But in the general sense, okay, let's not talk about every person's unique contribution. Let's talk about general. There's only one Torah Shebaal Peh. No one has the right to come along today and say, listen, tefillin, it doesn't say anything about how tefillin are made. It doesn't say how to make tefillin. Does it say anywhere in the Torah that tefillin have to be perfectly square, have four corners, and have to have a shin, and a mavarta, and have the parshios have to be put in this particular order, and all of the myriad of halachos that it says? Go through every single halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's a Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a Torah Shebaal Peh, how things are to be done. No one has a right to come along today and say, we'll do it a little bit different. Once you start doing things a little bit different, there's no Klal Yisrael anymore. There's no Klal Yisrael. You'll have conservative reform, you'll have reconstructionists, egalitarian, you'll have all these crazy different forms of the religion. There is one Torah Shebaal Peh, there is no room for deviation. When the Ketores was offered to give Hashem Nachas, the Ketores is the expression of Nachas Ruach to Hashem that is derived through the menorah. You light the menorah, you bring the Ketores when you prepare the menorah. The Ketores is an outgrowth of the lighting of the menorah. The Torah clearly says the two are, you cannot separate the menorah from the Ketores. You come to the menorah and you express yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give Hashem Nachas Ruach. Every single day you do it exactly the same. There is no room for deviation. The amount of Ketores is set. It's precise. Don't change. But when it comes to Torah Shebichsav, it's a matter, Torah Shebichsav, the words are there. The letters are there. It's just a question of finding a new insight into the depth of the pasuk. Every generation, the Kohen Gadol, the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael, his relation to the Torah Shebichsav is not to change Chas V'Shalom, but his emphasis, his focus is unique. In some generations, the Kohen Gadol is focusing on selective mitzvos, or he sees in certain psukim new insights that are unique to his generation. It's not a matter of halacha. It's a matter of interpretation, of flavor that does not, of course, have to be very careful how you word this idea. But when you're coming to something, the Torah Shebichsav, anyway, is not going to change. Torah Shebichsav is not going anywhere. But it's a matter of deriving a message from what it says in the parasha for the generation. This is really homiletics. I mean, think about it. What does a Rav do every single Shabbos? A Rav says, "Hafeich ba, hafeich ba, dekulu ba." We come over here to the parasha. It's the same parasha. Last year I said a drasha. I said one pasuk, and I made a drasha for 20 minutes relating to the current events. How are we to understand from a Torah perspective what is taking place in this generation? I have here a pasuk, and the pasuk is giving us insight how we should relate to an event that's taking place. This year, we have new issues. I will revisit the same parasha, and I will see in the parasha something different. And if this year we have a new rabbi, and this next year there's a different rabbi, and there's a different Kohen Gadol, every single year when you go hafeich ba, when you come to the Sedra, when you come to the Parsha Sashavua, and you interpret, you derive moral lesson, it's always changing. The Torah is not changing, Chas V'Shalom. Halacha is not changing. But the message that the Kohen Gadol, which represents the Rabbanim and the leaders of the generation, would they extract from the Torah Shebichsav, the Kedush, the power, the Kedush of the Sidra, that always changes is always changing depending upon the needs of the generation at that point in time. And therefore the Ketores, that is the expression of Nachas, that is being coming forth from the Luchois, which represents Parshas HaShavua, it's Miloy Chofnof. It changes in size. This Kohen Gadol has a large hand. This one has a small hand. There's a unique individual approach to the Torah Shebichsav. But when it comes to the menorah, which represents the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, the Torah Shebaal Peh, on how things are done in the Torah Shebaal Peh, there's no room for change. There, it's a specific amount. 365 measures for the 365 days of the year, not a mashu less, not a mashu more.
Is the part with saying the same drush the other way around?
I told you in the beginning, it depends what type of Torah you're referring to. If you're talking about Mechadish Chidushim, you want to be Mechadish, a Pshat and a Rashba and a difficult Taisis, everyone is unique. But there's another type of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what I want to focus on, is like the basic Halacha Torah Shebaal Peh. Tzilin. How do you wear Tzilin? There's a Shulchan Aruch. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get all this from? What does it say that it has to be square? It has to be two shins. One shin has three heads. One has four heads. The ritzuas have to be black. The hairs have to come out of this hole, not that hole. You need where? Show me anywhere in the Torah, even one halacha. Nowhere. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. This is tradition. And every single mitzvah is like that. Every single mitzvah has elements of the mitzvah, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. For that, there is no room to deviate. That is, every single generation is exactly the same it was. The same way you put on tefillin, the same tefillin you wore yesterday, you wear today. You wear tomorrow. Nothing is going to change. But when it comes to the Parashas HaShavua, when it comes to the Kedusha of the Sidra, and it comes to the Kohen Gadol specifically, the Kohen Gadol who represents the leader of Klal Yisrael, who's coming to give a message to Klal Yisrael, just similar to as a Rav, who speaks from the podium and takes a message on the parasha, that's always changing. It's always changing. Every tkufa, every generation, there's a new Yetzirah, there's a new Nisayon, which requires a new interpretation. There, the Nachas Ruach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has from the Ketores is dependent upon the Meloi Chofnav, upon the unique talents, the unique hand, size of the hand of the Kohen Gadol. Unlike the regular Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the halachic Torah Shebaal Peh of the menorah, which is given over to the average man, the regular Kohen brings guitarist. You don't need to have the Kohen Gadol bring the guitarist. That Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah does not allow for deviation. That has to be exactly precise, the same for everyone.
With the Kohen Gadol, there should not be deviation. Because
it's a
tzedekin, that's what they did the 7 days.
That was a halachic issue.
That's why also he saw the malach b'pnim, like Aaron said, im arishanim kemalachim. If we accept to remind him that you have a nesira to keep, and if you change it, you know, you won't see a malach anymore.
Okay. All right, you have to play with it the right way. So let's go to another short idea. This idea comes from Rav Soloveitch. He makes the following observation. It's just an observation. We have the two seirim, the sar la Hashem, the sar la Azazel. You just think about it. The Sar La Hashem, who is the one that brought the Sar La Hashem? Torah goes out of its way to tell us it was done by Aaron HaKohen. Problem is, it was not Aaron. Aaron only brought it for the 40 years in the Midbar. Once Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, then there was a Kohen Gadol. And then every single year, there was a new Kohen Gadol. So why does the Torah tell us the law with the sage of the Avodah, Bezos Yavoi Aharon El HaKodesh? And the answer is, this is what it says in the Medrash, is that every single Kohen Gadol throughout every generation is always stepping into the shoes of Aharon HaKohen. You lose your individual nature. You it's part of the office of the Kohen Gadol. That's why the Torah begins. Bezos Yavai Aaron. Every Kohen Gadol turns into the quintessential Kohen Gadol, being Aaron HaKohen himself. On the other hand, and where is this avodah being done? It's being done in the most important place in the world, in the Beis Hamikdash. The place l'shichnoi sidushu vasa shama, it's the mokar v'kamta v'halisa el ha-mokoim, to the mokoim, the mokar asher yivchar Hashem. The sar la'azazel is the extreme opposite. What's the extreme opposite? Where is it being thrown off to? It has all the sins of Klal Yisrael. Azazel, into the midbar, no man's land, a place of complete emptiness, wilderness, a place of nothingness. And who is the one that's taking it? He's called the Ish E.T. There are many interpretations of what it means, E.T., but on a very similar level, Rav Soloveitchik says, E.T. means he's just here for the moment. Ace. E.T. comes from the word ace, the moment. It's the most temporary thing. He's here for the moment. He's here to do a job. He takes the Sar La'azazel and he brings it out to throw it off the cliff. What the Torah is trying to do is the Torah is using a technique of contrast. It's Yom Kippur. It's the day where your life hangs in the balance. The Torah is trying to illustrate Kedusha has permanence. It's offered by the holiest person that exists in the world, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, and it's offered in the Mokoim of the greatest significance, the Hamokoim Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha. In contrast, look at Chet. Look what happens to Chet. Chet is offered by the most insignificant person in the world. He's nothing more than an Ish E.T., a man for the moment. He has no permanence. And where does he bring it to? Nowhere. To the Midbar. It's a technique. It's a technique for the person on this day where his life hangs in the balance to see the contrast between Chayim and Maves, to impress upon the person of Vacharta b'Chayim. Okay. We have this, I want to just point out a very interesting similarity between the Haftarah and the Parashah. There's a popular question that's asked by many of the commentators as to why it was necessary to put a goyrol on the Soher La'azazel. If you only have two animals, two serim, and one is going to be La'ashem, so by process of elimination, the second one is going to be La'azazel. What? Wow, you have a good memory. What?
passed the shot between the Tsar and the birds.
Yeah.
And the Tsar is also what? You say with Kedusha, you don't need a girl. That's the two birds. When you make a difference between Kedusha.
Okay, it's a different idea. Okay, it's a different idea. Okay. So I just want to point out that, so one of the answers that are given, it's a little bit, the saying is a little bit different. The answer given is that since, what would be the option? What would be the alternative? The alternative would be you have two animals in front of you, you make a girl, and you select, oh, this one is La Hashem. And then you would have to designate on your own that this one is La Zozo. This one is La Hashem. It just can't be La Zozo. Because you have to express that this animal, we made a girl, there are two animals. Oh, this one is going to be La Hashem. Okay, but by process of elimination, so what is this going to be? Well, it's still Chulin. You have to go and now sanctify it and say it's going to be La Azazel. The Torah did not want a human being to do something negative on Yom HaKippur. It's not the right thing for you to express this is La Azazel. If you take a goyrol, then the goyrol is what is designating the animal. You have two different pieces of material, and on one you put one animal, and on the other one you put the other animal. You do not need to express yourself through the goyrol that the second animal is going to be a goyrol La Azazel. The goyrol does it without your expression. That's critical because the Torah wants to teach you that it's not your place to do anything in this world that is negative. And this is seen very interestingly from the Haftarah. The Haftarah, we learn, Macha Chodesh, Yoinasan and David, they make up among themselves that they're going to make a simon. Yoinasan is, David's going to be absent from the table of the king, and Shaul's going to ask, where is David? And he's going to have either a very positive reaction or a violent reaction. And David says to Yonasan, if your father has a violent reaction, come out the next day, go out into the field and shoot an arrow, and aim that the arrow should go further than your servant. And if your father, and that will be a sign to me, go run far, far away. And if the arrow, if your father has a positive reaction to my absence, then you should aim, the arrow should land closer than your servant, and that will be a simon that I should come in, I should come back home, everything is fine and good. Why do they need this elaboration? Why can't, since anyway we know that they met in the field, and anyway after they did this simon and they embraced and they had a conversation, why can't David say to Yonasan, I'm not going to come to your home for the next few days, and I'll meet you in the field, and we'll have a discussion, you'll tell me what happened. And if you tell me that your father doesn't like me, then I'll run away. If your father likes me, I'll come. Why did David and Yonasan have to go through this technique of this elaborate simonim? Since anyway they would have a discussion at a later point in time. And one of the popular answers, many commentators say this, is because if you look carefully in the Psukim, you'll notice nowhere did David, Yonasan, say to David, leave. He never said to him, run away. He never said it. The entire thing was done through the sin, because a person should never, al-moitzi dovara, a person should never be moitzi dibara, a bad word should never come out of your mouth. There's a minute, you're not even allowed, technically, you're not even allowed to tell, announce that someone died. You're supposed to inform people only through writing. You hang up a sign and people see it. You're not even supposed to say literally that a person, it's not always very practical to do that, and we don't always follow that halacha because just sometimes it's just not possible, but you're not technically supposed to say something evil. And that's exactly what David and Yohanneson did. We're not going to say anything bad that your father Shaul wants to kill me, he wants my harm. Instead, we'll do the simonim. And that parallels what we learn in this parasha, in the girl on Yom Kippur. There is a double girl. Echol Hashem, Echol Azazel. The Torah did not allow that it should just be a girl of Hashem, and then that would require the Kohen Gadol to pick up with his own hands the other, the remaining Sohir, and give it designation and say, you are now going to be the Sohir La'azazel. The Torah did not want that to happen. Instead, the Torah says you have kalfa, you have two different pieces of wood, you pick it up. You pick up one and you put it on the animal Hashem, and the other one you put on La Azazel. The one that you put on La Hashem, you can go the extra mile, l'chatchila, and you would say La Hashem. But with the one La Azazel, you don't say anything. Shtoik. You don't say anything. But if you didn't say anything, so why then does it have Kedusha? It's Chul Mazorit. It doesn't have Kedusha. It doesn't have the status. The Goral has created it. The Goral has created it without the person needing to intervene and to do something that is evil to bring about, to designate an animal to carry the sins of Klal Yisrael. Okay, another short var. We have here the two seirim. Echad la Hashem, the echad la Azazel. And it's interesting that after the two have been selected, it says concerning the sor la Azazel, yo'amad chai, that you should let it stand there alive. It's a very bizarre expression because this sor la Azazel is going to receive a violent death. It's going to be thrown off a cliff backwards, and it's going to be smashed into the mountain. Yet Rashi indeed says, now, for the moment, right now, Yo'amat Chai, after it has been selected, let it stand here alive until we're ready to do with it what we need. Let me read the pasuk. Think of Arnes Asu Asher Olo Olav Hagorol Hashem Asu Echados VeHasuir Asher Olo Olav Hagorol LaAzazel Yo Omat Chai Lifnei Hashem LeChaper Olav. Question is, why did the pasuk use this particular expression? Besides Pshat of Rashi, as I told you before, says that now it should be alive, but in a few minutes from now, it's going to be thrown off the cliff. It's going to die a violent death. So I want to suggest the following drush. We know that there's a difference between a human being and a malach. A person is a mahalich. A malach is an oimed. V'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'oimdim ha'ela. A person is put in this world in order to give him the opportunity to advance. If we were created, and neshama was created, and existed in Shemayim, the neshama would not be able to advance to a higher level. Malachim lack the ability to progress, mobility, the ability to grow, to mature. They are what they are. They're locked into their matzif. A human being in this world has the ability to grow spiritually. It's a very, very great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us by creating a world and putting a neshama here, and that is what we have. Unfortunately, it comes Yom Kippur, the year is over, a person sometimes he does not take advantage of this opportunity. And instead of behaving like a human being, he behaves like a malach. He's a yo'amad chai. He just stands. He just takes up space in this world. A year goes by, and what did he accomplish? Did he achieve the gift of the world of nasati l'cha mahalchem bein ha'im dimo'ele? On Yom Kippur, there are two forms of kapara. There's a kapara of a soher l'Hashem. It goes l'fnai v'l'fnim. In the process of moving forward, of going full steam ahead, we sometimes step on other people's toes. Right? Sometimes in order to get to the next madrega, if you want to go and move ahead in life, unfortunately you step on other people. So therefore, that is the Soher LaHashem. It's Mechaper al Tumas Mikdosh V'Kodoshav. It's Mechaper on forms of holiness. We do holy things. We do good things. We accomplish great things. But sometimes in our accomplishments, we're insensitive to other people's needs. And in the process, we do averos. But then there's a worse type of sin. And that is the sin where we just were lazy and we were yo'amad chai. We didn't do averos. We were good people. It's just we fail to take advantage of opportunities that presented themselves to move, to be a mahalich. We were on the madrega of an oime like a malach. That's why we need the soyer la'azazel. The soyer la'Hashem is the sins we've committed in our process of ascent, whereas the soyer la'azazel is to mechaper for the sin of not moving, of just being yo'amad chai, and that's what the pasuk expressed the Sola Zotel with this expression. Okay, last vart. It's always very curious that on Yom Kippur, the very end of Yom Kippur and the Ne'ilah, the theme of Ne'ilah is of Gezel. The last thing we say in the Shemona Esrei of Ne'ilah is L'man yechtal me'oishek yodeinu. Why do we do that? Why is that the theme of Yom Kippur? There's so many averos that we are guilty of. Gezel is certainly one of the worst. But why is that that in the Nusach HaTzfila of the Tzfila of Nilus, I want to suggest it comes from the mitzvah of requirement to remove the Kafu Machta. On Yom HaKippurim, the last avoda for the kohen is to put on the four garments to go to mikvah, wash his hands and feet, and to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve the kafu machta, to retrieve the shovel and the spoon. Question is why? Why does the kohen gadol have to go do this? There are so many. If we were making the rules, it's very unlikely we would think of doing requiring such a step where the kohen at the end of the day should go and put on his end of the avodah. The very last thing is to go through the effort. We would either appoint a skan, an assistant to do this, or maybe we would require Aaron to wait. He would make a special trip. He would bring the Ketores. How long does it take to bring the Ketores? So he'll stay there for a couple of minutes. He'll say Tehillim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he'll take everything out with him. Or maybe we'll devise a technique. We'll have a string, a rope. We'll be able to pull it out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why do we require him to go? So I don't know where I saw this. Either it's a Medrash, and if it's not a Medrash, it's a Jewish. And the reason is because it is a Zecher for Yaakov Avinu returning to retrieve the Pachim Ketanim. Yaakov Avinu, after he took over his children, he took over his wife, and I think it's a Medrash, he took over his wife and his children, everything was, he remembered, oh, I forgot, on the Eder HaNohar, on the other side of the river, I forgot the Pachim Ketan. So the average person would say, it's a big deal, you forgot a plastic bottle, 5-cent deposit. So if you had it on this side anyway, you'd probably throw it in the garbage. You'd be Michael, it'd be beneath your dignity to go into the supermarket and say, here is my plastic bottle, and I want to get back a nickel, my 5-cent deposit. So Yaakov Avinu says, I'm not going to go lose that 5 cents. So therefore, I'm going to cross the yard. I'm going to risk my life in the middle of the night. I'm going to cross over the Yarden in order to go back and retrieve the Pachim Ketanim, so I'll have an extra 30 cents in my bank account. Halfway of a fella. Why would Yaakov Avinu do this? So Chazal asked this question. What was he thinking? And then because he did this, who did he meet? The Sar Shel Esav and Vayiga Bekaf Yirecho. Horrible things happened. So Chazal say to teach you, you don't know Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is machped on Gezel. Yaakov Avinu, every penny is accounted for. He worked every penny that he has in his account, he earned with 100% honesty. The reason why the average person doesn't care to cross the yard in the middle of the night to retrieve a 5-cent deposit is because, you know what, it's not my money anyway. I made a salary, $50,000, $100,000. You know something, did I really earn it? Half of it is really gezel. Well, even if it's not gezel, this is the way the system is. The system is, you sit in bottle the whole day and you collect the check. This is the way the whole world operates. So I'm no different than anyone else. That's how the world is. Did I really earn with maisa yadayim every penny that I have? We don't appreciate this. So therefore, to us, big deal. But when you sweat and every single penny you earn comes through amelos, you don't give up on even one single penny. Yaakov Avinu was the perfection of the concept of honesty. Ish emes. Nenela, that's the Torah emphasized this. This Medrash Chazal. Don't forget about the concept of emes, what it means to earn. L'man nechtal me oishek yodeinu. Yaakov Avinu, he crossed the Yarden to retrieve the Pachim Ketanim. Let the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, let him go to mikvah, let him do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, put on the Bigdei Lavan, the Moiser Nefesh, to go into the place where it's Pekuach Nefesh for a person to go, to go retrieve the Pachim Ketanim. He should remember Yaakov Avinu, he was Nizar on Gezel. The nail is not a kasha anymore. Why the end of the avoda for us on Yom HaKippurim, the tzfila of Ni'ila, the last thing is l'man nechtal me'oishek yadeinu. When we're saying l'man nechtal me'oishek yadeinu, what are we really doing? we are going in to retrieve the Pachim Ketanim. We are going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to retrieve the Makaf and the Machta on Yom HaKippurim. That's what we're going to do. What? It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash. But it's insignificant relative to what's going on. We're dealing with a par and a sar. The par costs thousands of dollars. The sar is also not so simple. And we deal with the Qatar. We're dealing over here with, this is insignificant. Yeah. The pachu machla, shovel. What's a shovel? And a ladle to hold the Qataris. These are the most insignificant things relative to what's going on during the entire day. Well, Yaakov, he had two wives and children, and he took care of them, and now he's going to be Mois Nevesh? That's right. Why? Gezel. Rashi says, Gezel. What's Shad Gezel? Every penny he earned, he sweated for. He knows what money means. The Nela. What? But it's a general awareness of the strictness of Gezel. The Neila, we now have an appreciation. The Neila, the Gemara of Yom HaKippurim is Leman Nechtal Me Oishek Yodenu. It's the Hoitzah of the Kaf and the Machte, which goes back to Yaakov Avinu of the Pachim Ketanim to remind us what it means Emes and what it means Gezel. Okay. A wonderful shot.